live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield and Company.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying.
Yeah! Here we go. Friday. 5 o'clock hour. The burgers are on the table. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, Treasure Island, free parking in the back. By the way, there's going to be a lot going on out front of Treasure Island. Yeah, F1.
Oh, yeah.
They're on turn 12. This is a premier official venue of the Las Vegas Strip Circuit. If you stay here, you are on turn 12 with awesome views up to 30 feet from the track. They've got three-night VIP packages that include gourmet food and beverage services, comp drinks. And they're also offering single-night general admission, standing room only. That's on the outdoor patio. And you got access there to bars and private restrooms and souvenirs. So it's coming up. Less than 3 weeks away. F1 is in town. 3 weeks away, F1 is in town. And Treasure Island is one of the cool spots to hang out and book your stay. Now, Arash Markazi's coming up. I thought we were going to talk to Arash on the ground in L.A., post-parade, like all drunk. But he might be drunk, but he's in New York. So we're going to do a recap on the World Series and his take, especially from the New York end of things. Sorry, Greg.
It's okay.
You know, I don't know. I keep saying sorry to you, and I'm a Yankees fan as well, but I know you get really bent.
I don't like
almost
it.
Scary mad.
Yeah, it's annoying.
What, your anger or losing?
Well, that too, yeah. I mean, if I can control that, I'd have a different life.
The early part of your life might have been a little bit different. I agree with that, for sure. So, we haven't talked about this weird Cowboys thing, and I'm not even sure how weird or strange it is in this era. I think old-school media guys are like, yeah, we got them! Let's go and tell stories about the crazy Cowboys and how out of control they are. The story is, listen, all these guys do podcasts now. And as I said years ago, while players 5 years ago were like, oh, podcast, now we don't have to deal with you guys in the media.
New media.
Twisting our words. And I said then, I was like, the twisting of the words almost never happens. You say that, but it almost never happens. No, actually, what we do a lot of times is we filter what you say by asking you follow-up questions like, are you sure that's what you're saying? Like, you just said this, but now there's no filter. So turn on the mics and say whatever you want and don't think about repercussions, right? Micah Parsons and Diggs. And Diggs already had the incident last week where he's coming out of the locker room yelling at a reporter,
right,
which I thought was infantile and childish. They got into a conversation about the toughest quarterbacks in the league. They were giving credit to guys like Jared Goff. And they were like, oh, let's name, like, the top quarterbacks. And they're going back and forth, and they're like, Jaden Daniels, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford, Sam Darnold. Now, I don't think they were dissing Dak Prescott, but you know that's red meat for us, and especially in Dallas, where they're always looking for trouble, or trouble is a good thing to report on, right? Discord,
right.
And of course, Jerry Jones starts most of the trouble.
Yes. On purpose, probably, to get attention.
I actually like what Ryan Clark said this morning. RC, he wears that little crest now. He's a very important man. At least he thinks he is. His delivery, I was watching this morning. I'm like, man, his delivery is pretty interesting. But he started talking about that is this generation. They go on podcast, and they have no filter, and they're really honest.
Is it possible, though, that they were saying besides the Cowboys?
I don't. They showed enough of the clip. I trust that there was no point where they said, aside from Dak, who are the top 10 guys? They just rolled in, and they started raving about different quarterbacks who they
right.
have trouble with.
Yeah. But see, again,
I don't think they, like in the conversation, I don't think they process, like, you know, F Dak. Or,
no.
like it was like a – I mean, there's a way to do that where, you know, we've seen that happen where you're actually dissing your coach or a player, a teammate,
right.
and you're naming all these other people, and you don't name your guy.
But they're saying they're hardest to go against, and they don't go against Dak. So maybe that's – you know, what they were
touché,
saying.
Touche, good point.
I mean, you know, usually I would never defend a Cowboy, but I'm just saying, in this situation, maybe that's what they were saying.
Example, if you had a vote in the Nevada Broadcaster of the Year nominations, right? There is an organization you have to pay to vote, which I've always thought is absolutely crap.
That's weird.
Exactly. And it's also why I believe there's never been one single sports talk radio host in the history of Las Vegas who has won the Nevada Broadcaster of the Year.
Is that true? Yes. Who is it normally?
It's been a lot of the TV guys. Broadcaster. And some play-by-play guys.
Yeah.
A lot of play-by-play guys, but TV guys win it. I submitted these five. This is an order. One, John Von Tobel at VSiN. Two, Matt Neverett, Aviator and UNLV play-by-play guy. Three, Q Myers, Raider Nation, Radio 920. Four, Adam Hill, ESPN Las Vegas. Five, Dan Duva, play-by-play for VGK.
Wow, thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
Exactly.
Wow. You know.
Should all five be, like, the company?
I mean.
There's two company members in there.
You know, a lot of times you think somebody's on your side, then you find out later that they're not.
So you're being Dak right now. So Dak is probably pissed right now.
Maybe he is. Well, this didn't say going against anybody. You just said these are the best ones, and I wasn't on there.
Are you the best company member? You're pretty close.
I mean, I think I'm the best at everything, so I guess it really, you know.
I think you're very good. But if I just broke your confidence and the Cowboys could be screwed then.
Didn't really break my confidence. You just kind of made you think that maybe, you know, you have an agenda against me or something.
This means something then.
But again.
Dak is probably irate.
But again.
No one's coming over for chunky soup.
There's the caveat, though, that that's who they went against that they thought was strong. It's different than going, you know, you're not going against Dak. Like, they're never playing against Dak, so maybe that's it.
Let's bring in Arash Markazi, who did get multiple votes in other areas from me. Sports Writer of the Year in state of Nevada, number three, and National Sports Writer, number three. Arash, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You realize last year when I announced these votes, in the very important, this NMSA awards, I know you take this very seriously. Last year, Darren Millard of the Golden Knights actually did turn it into, I think, a bit, but maybe he was really pissed off. I did not vote for him. So will you continue on the show? You got votes in two different categories.
Listen, just to be nominated, just to get a vote, I'm thankful, privileged. So, yes, listen, I don't take these awards seriously, but always appreciative of a vote.
I'm asking this for a reason. Are you drunk in L.A. today after a parade?
No, listen, we texted about this. I am not a parade guy, but I say that as someone who's very blessed and privileged to be able to cover the game. The parade is for the fans, you know. So, you know, when I am not a big on crowds either. So when they say 150,000 people are going to line the streets of Los Angeles and you're going to have a sold-out crowd of 50,000 at Dodger Stadium for the pep rally or whatnot, like, that's – I was at Game 5. It was awesome. I covered the series. It was tremendous. I did enjoy the parade. I watched it on TV, but I'm not going to line the streets of Los Angeles, and I'm not going to go through traffic to get to Dodger Stadium for a pep rally. But I am going to watch it on TV. I think it's awesome. I think it's an amazing moment for Los Angeles, and obviously they didn't get one in 2020 when they had the Lakers and the Dodgers win. I mean, that would have been the greatest party of all time. But happy that the Dodgers got their parade today.
Greg, respond. To quote, I don't like parades.
I kind of agree.
Oh, no.
I mean, there's a lot of people there. It's boring. What are you doing there, you know? It's you got to walk through all these people, and you might get a glimpse of a bus for 2 minutes and throw a beer at them or something. I don't know. I kind of agree.
But Arash's job is man of the people amongst the people. You're a big event guy.
No. A man of the people is that I'll go into the crowd, I'll buy you a beer, I'll buy you a dog, we'll talk about the game. Greg touched the nail on the head there. So you go to the parade, right? And so I was watching TTLA5, on my computer, and you had people lining the parade around at 5 or 6 a.m. So the parade started at 11:30. It was supposed to start at 11, but of course traffic in Los Angeles, even for a police escorted parade. Those folks probably got to see their favorite player or whoever for like 10 seconds. Like, you know, and they got to wave at them, and that was about it. So, I mean, I hope that they enjoyed that. I mean, that's the goal, right, for them to be a part of that amazing moment. The pictures were amazing. The sea of humanity, like, that's awesome. Like, if you're, like, so here's the, I guess, the difference, Steve. Like, and I don't even know if this sounds good saying this, but if I was invited to be actually on one of the floats or the van or the bus or whatever,
yes.
Yeah. But, like, if you want me to, like, walk the parade route or whatever, like, I'm not going to do that. I'm
wow.
Sorry.
Arash just outright laughing at fans who enjoy parades. Okay, Greg, I'll throw another question at you, and we'll let Arash respond. Arash is with us. Arash Markazi, Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas, Mr. Hawaii. You can find all his stuff up at the Sporting Tribune. He's the CEO of the Sporting Tribune. Is Arash a real sports fan if he prefers to go see Hamilton over going to the Dodgers parade?
I mean, I would never go see Hamilton ever in a million years, but
okay.
If you like that sort of thing, I mean, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Arash?
Okay, so, I mean, I didn't choose. I did watch the parade.
Yes.
I picked a funny little story angle that I'm going to write about in the Sporting Tribune, that I watched the parade at the loneliest bar in America. And where is that? It was at the Hard Rock Cafe bar at Yankee Stadium that was totally empty.
Totally empty.
Except for me and my wife. And
you're such a jerk. You really are.
Hilarious.
What a jerk to Yankee fans. Let's just cut to the chase. You are going to see Hamilton, right?
I've already seen Hamilton, so
okay,
I'm
going to
see something else, and you suggested something that I should see, so I am planning to see that as well.
Okay. I suggest, by the way, I would go see Hamilton in a heartbeat. Here's the story here is Arash stayed over in New York instead of going back to L.A., so he's on a New York City vacation. And he is going to see Broadway shows. But I'm with him. I would go see Broadway shows. I don't know if I would. If my team won. I mean, the Yankees haven't won in a long time. So, and the Canada Heroes is pretty cool.
But I guess here's the thing, Steve. And I did this with the Vegas Golden Knights. So I was there when they won the Cup. And then when they had their parade, like, I like consuming the parade on home on television. Like you hear the conversations they have with the reporters on the floats. You can actually hear, like, there's nothing that I can really get from being on the parade route.
Arash,
whatever.
I am busting your chops just to bust your chops. I agree. From a coverage standpoint, being in the belly of the beast at a parade is kind of tough. If you've done it before, It's cool. I guess one of the topics I wanted to get to with the parade is the route they picked was a 45-minute route. How did the crowd look? Because we've had parades here where the route was like 14 minutes. Like, we've had VGK parades and Aces parades. Aces went like a block, and the VGK like turned the corner and went to the arena. And L.A. always gets banged on for being a crap sports city. And I think, you know, that's a misnomer. Was there a good turnout?
It was a good turnout, and here's why, Steve. There's two franchises in Los Angeles that can do the route that they did, and it's the Lakers and the Dodgers. And I've often said this, and I know the Clippers get very sensitive. The Clippers cannot hold a parade. And they're not going to do it this year, but if the Clippers, when they had Kawhi and Paul George and when they were, you know, having the run, if the Clippers won, they were going to have a rally. They are not a big enough fan base and franchise to have a parade. So, listen, the Lakers and the Dodgers can have a 45-minute a parade route because they are the two signature franchises of Los Angeles. And, yes, there were pockets where it may have been light, but there were also pockets, Steve, where I think the Dodgers just posted something on their social. It looks amazing. I mean, it looks like it's 100 deep. Like, so those are the two franchises in Los Angeles. The DGK, same thing. Listen, I love that the WNBA franchise got a parade. The Sparks did. They got a rally. You have to pick and choose your spots. There are certain franchises you can't do a parade because it wouldn't look good.
By the way, for people out there who bang on LA, as you know, for the sports fan following, and the NFL thing is kind of quirky, but I saw a number posted today that Taylor Swift's Era Tour drew $4.35 million. The Dodgers, with the playoffs regular season, actually sold 4.36 million tickets. So they're good fans.
Yeah, I don't know how to quantify that, like in terms of, like, you know, what stadium she's touring and whatever. But listen,
the point
is,
Dodger fans are good. Yeah, Dodger fans are good.
The Dodgers and Lakers, listen, but Steve, I agree with the masses that I'm from Los Angeles and I love Los Angeles. It is a transient town. So if you're not the Lakers and Dodgers, you really are dependent on your team to be successful. Because if your team's not successful, Steve, look at USC. USC, I went to USC. Yeah, I love USC. If they're not competing, you're not drawing flies there. It's half empty at the Coliseum.
Shocker, Rutgers didn't draw a big crowd at the Coliseum, but that might have a lot to do with the opponent. On Friday night against mega sporting events that night. Well, let's close on your view of New York. First of all, I believe it or not, I've never been to New Yankee Stadium. Never have been there. You were showing some photos of the place. You said there was a Benihana there. I was actually shocked. The concession prices, I mean, this is a real indicator of what we're doing here in Vegas to our people. The concession prices for beers at the World Series at Yankee Stadium were significant, like 25% cheaper than our regular season games here for VGK and Raiders.
Yeah, so I talked to someone with the Yankees. They did not increase their prices. A lot of places around the country do. Their prices were the same on a Tuesday in June as they were during the World Series. So I really enjoyed Yankee Stadium. I had been to the old one. I'm so glad that I did see the history of the old one. But the new one's fantastic. And from a media perspective, their press box was beautiful. The Dodgers really do need to take a page out of their booking and increase the size of their press box. I mean, they got the biggest stars in baseball, and it's still the same size as it was back in the 60s. So I had a great time, and I'm still having a great time. And I think that's the reason, I talked to you about it. Like, I love Los Angeles, but if you're in New York, here's the thing. Baseball is one of those sports. You got to get to the ballpark 5 hours before the game, when you stay there a few hours post-game. I really did not, with my wife, get to enjoy New York. So I said, if they win, we're staying here a little bit longer, and we are, and I'm glad that we are.
Well, good for you. I'm glad you took advantage of that. Dodger player that you're happiest for winning a World Series, and maybe a lot of this is based on being around the person, seeing how they reacted, actually getting to talk to them. I think that shapes opinions a little bit better than being from afar. So was there someone that you were like, man, this person really appreciates and feels the Dodgers World Championship?
So this was, okay, so they won a championship in 2020, but Clayton Kershaw, he got very emotional today, and I think a lot of his teammates got emotional for him. He wanted that parade, and so, like, you know, as much as I want to poo-poo-poo the parade, Clayton Kershaw deserved and earned this moment, not only for 2020, but his career. And he will come back, but this was a moment he's not going to take for granted. So just on a personal note, someone who's covered in his entire career in Los Angeles, he got emotional, not because of the 2024 run in particular, but just everything that he had gone through to get to this moment and to have this parade that he had dreamed of. Clayton Kershaw, that's who I was most happy for, despite the fact, Steve, that he wasn't a part of this postseason run.
Arash, I wanted to ask you a Lakers question because they started out 3-0, lost a couple. Are the fans in L.A. Optimistic about the season, or are they kind of just whatever? Right now they're destroying the Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're more optimistic than they were at the beginning of the season. Again, you know, a lot of the pundits and a lot of the people around the country, you know, didn't even have them to be a play-in tournament team. I did have them to be a playoff team. I think you were really seeing buy-in, and this is such a big thing, the players buy into what JJ is doing as a head coach. And we'll see. Listen, it's a long season. They began the season 3-0, but it was really the way he responded following that first loss to Phoenix. I mean, he responded like they lost a playoff game. So the fact that the players have bought in, the whole Bronny James thing, I think once they get back from this road trip, he'll go to the G League. I think they're a trade away. And by the way, I think it's a trade that they could make. They're a trade away from them becoming a contending team. Now, they're not a championship team. When I say a contending team, I think that they'll be a playoff team. I think that they can go on a run. I think that they can do what they did a couple of years ago and get to the conference finals. Again, that's not a championship in Los Angeles, but I do think this team is a lot better than a lot of people thought that they could be at the beginning of the season.
Arash, we appreciate it, buddy. Have a good time in New York. I would suggest Wicked, Lion King, maybe even Back to the Future musical.
I'm going to see. So we have tickets for Back to the Future tomorrow, Steve. So I'm going to text you and let you know how that is. I am such a big fan of the movie, so I'm going to be very intrigued at how the Broadway show lives up to one of my favorite films of all time.
Lots of good original songs. I actually saw it last week here in Vegas at the Smith Center, so you'll enjoy it. Have a good trip, and tell your better half congrats again. We'll see you, buddy.
I will. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Ross just got married.
Nice.
So that was a strange reference. Like, congrats.
I'm glad you said he was in New York, because it sounded like he was on the moon.
The feed we're getting is absolute crap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure. It wasn't just me.
No.
Okay.
It was. Sometimes it's rough.
Okay.
Yeah. But he really got defensive there, didn't he?
A little bit.
I think he loses sight of my sense of humor.
Yeah.
I wasn't like trying to back him in a corner. I know what he's saying. I think for the average fan who's never around the baseball team,
yeah,
like going to a parade is really freaking cool. And when you don't, you know, they won in 2020. Before that, they had won in forever. Getting a Friday off, perfect day, right? Being able to jerk around and go on a parade route is neat. For a media person, you know, he's been there, he's done that.
It's not neat to me. No. I have no interest in it.
Now, I told him off the air when he said that he hates parades. I like parades, but he actually nailed it. I like watching them on TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't know, like, the Macy's Day Parade.
Right.
Like, for me, it's like, you know, it goes, you know, watch it in movies, going back to freaking, you know, Christmas time. And, like, I don't know if I want to be out there every year in the parade route, especially in those conditions. Like, I think, you know, I've never been to the Rose Bowl Parade, the Rose Parade.
Uh-huh.
I think that would be cool to go to.
Yeah, my sister was in it.
And the weather's probably nice.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, you would think
Macy's,
so.
You know, the Thanksgiving Day parade can be, sometimes it can be 14 degrees.
Even when the Eagles had that parade for the Super Bowl, I didn't go, but it was nice to watch it. Like, I was cool watching this Kel speech and all that stuff, but I wasn't going to go.
I'm not sure that city by city, judging each other on the crowd turnout really means much. You see that happen where, like, there's no fans with that one. You know? 7.9 million showed up for this. First of all, they're lying.
Yeah.
And that's why there's a lot of parades now where they overstep.
Like, yeah.
Just, I think the two Aces championships and even VGK, they were really smart because Vegas is not a parade town. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely not.
Like, people aren't – you try to explain to people – especially if you work. Now, I'm not explaining it to the audience right now.
Right.
Outside the market. If you work on the Strip, you don't want to come back down here ever.
No.
I don't work on the Strip. I work on the Strip occasionally to do this show and other shows. I cross the Strip all the time, but I don't work down here. If I worked down here, I probably would never want to come down here.
No.
So those parades, if they look, you know, they work. They were lighter attended than some of these other cities. And then I'm not gonna wade into, like, the deep waters of you're all losers, so that's why you have to go to your crappy cities.
Yeah.
That, you know what? I compliment them. If you're hardcore and you want to go, like I said, the positives are you get a day off from work, you can get lit up, you can watch, you know, Matt Stafford fall off the stage. Well, he didn't fall off the stage. A photographer did, and then he ignored her. You can watch Travis Kelce get drunk. You can watch what was his name? I don't know. He's the Cal coach now. Madsen doing a stupid dance.
That
stuff's fun. But, I'm going on and on. The other thing, when you go to a parade, like, we see those highlights of guys dancing and making their speeches, and, like, you see some of the crowds, you're like, how do you even see what's going on?
Well, that too. And I think it's cool, like, when Cleveland won for the first time in a million years, when LeBron won, okay, that makes sense. When a city like Boston, as much as I hate them, won the, you know, for beat the Yankees that year, and they went on to win the World Series for the first time, the Bambino curse and all that crap, I understand that. But, yeah, man, I'm not, you know, I let other people waste their day doing that. I'm not going to go do that.
You're very spoiled.
All right.
But I do like that Arash felt like he was getting back into a corner, and he's like, okay, he tried to, like, it's Cofield and Company. This is what we do. We're going to relentlessly bust your chops. Tomorrow, more chop busting. In fact, I'll do it right now. The award-winning Throw the Flag, 9-11, Danny Smythe, Jared. But no Danny. Guess who's stepping in? Throw the flag, Saturday morning, 9-11. Guess who's in?
Who?
Big fella.
I'm here.
Yeah, right there. back at the studio.
Oh, Griffin.
Griffin, yeah.
Nice, man.
Griffin's in.
Yeah, yep. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it.
That's cool.
How will you counter the tomfoolery buffoonery of Jared?
Just straight ball knowledge. Just get straight to the facts.
You're going to kill him with sports knowledge.
Kill him with Big J journalism. That's right.
Do you look at a radio show as a competition? Are you out to destroy Jared, or what's the goal here?
I think it's a competition with me and Danny, actually, to see who could be the better co-host for with Jared.
Oh, you're trying to steal the game.
Dude, what if Danny gets Wally pimped?
He could.
I ain't trying to steal nobody's spot. I'm just trying to do a good job while I'm doing it.
I think if you do a lot of Patrick Mahomes, I think Jared will laugh a lot. And then I think Jared's in control of that show, so he might nix Danny.
I cannot do the frog voice. I lost it. I did it one time, and it was perfect, and now I cannot get it back.
You can't do it for an hour?
I can't do it once. I can't even do it once. I had to download the soundbite to make sure we can even have it on the show.
Hey, Jared. You know, ball.
Wow. You,
whoa.
Yeah, I tell you, it's day to day. I don't know how Patrick Mahomes does it. He's like an operatic type skill. He's a John Facenda. Remember the old voice of NFL films?
Yeah.
That's what Patrick Mahomes is these days. All right, NFL picks coming up.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. On ESPN, Las Vegas.
Is Nick Bosa the dumbest athlete of all time? Because so much was idiotic about his postgame stunt. His first error is that nobody can read his hat because it's yellow on white. Like, bro, your team colors are red and white. Just wear the red one. Remember when Bosa and the rest of the MAGA crowd lost their minds about Colin Kaepernick? They said, keep politics out of sports, shut up and dribble, etc. I mean, whether you agree with Kaepernick or not, at least he had the frankly, the knowledge to explain his position. Clearly, Bosa wanted to take away from his teammates' moment post-game and make a political statement. He wanted to use his platform to spread the message or whatever, but he's too dumb to even explain it.
If you're gonna be dumb, you gotta be tough. When you get knocked down, you gotta get back up.
I think that was the best part of that whole discussion there. That was some dude, Perdome, on TikTok. If you're gonna be dumb, you gotta be tough. That's the song. I want to address Bosa. We hit on it a little bit yesterday. We'll get to it here in a second. We're going to start picking the NFL games. Kenny White did a good job of giving us some leans and likes. We'll probably play off some of those. He was on at 4:45. Our Eye on Sports Gambling spot every day is brought to you by Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Trop. Great local bar, rocking menu, 24/7 breakfast, and their dinner special tonight is the lemon butter prime rib.
Damn.
On Decatur, south of Trump. Good deal. And if you want to watch Monday Night Football, good place to do it is with Johnny and the Monday Night Maniacs. So Oasis Bar and Grill, look them up on Instagram at Oasis Bar and Grill. And we're out there actually on Election Day. That should be fun. 3-6 next Tuesday. I'm looking forward to that. Speaking of, yeah, so Nick Bosa pops up in the postgame, Niners, I think it was in that soundbite, as the TikToker said. Maybe we took it out. But anyway, it was I think he had like yellow. It was like yellow MAGA. So I guess a lot of people couldn't even see what it was. And then I wasn't surprised that after the game he's like, yeah, I'm not going to talk about it. Like, I made my statement. I don't think he's dumb. I think he also knows his limits, that he's not going to sit there and be peppered with like 17 questions about his political affiliation and who he supports. Like, he's not going to win in that case. So he took a shot. Now, to the guy's point, did he screw over teammates by stealing your spotlight?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think he did.
I mean, he was just trying to get attention.
I think he stole any post-game social media attention they might have got. But during the post-game, it's like he popped in, he popped out. Everyone else got to talk.
I don't know if he's dumb. I think he's very uninformed. I mean, grossly uninformed. But, I just think that in that kind of situation, again, I think they made a good point about the Kaepernick thing. You know, shut up and dribble. These be the same people, and then whenever they get a chance to be the vocal minority or whatever, I'm like, vocal minority? You never shut up. How are you the vocal minority? I just don't understand. I mean,
well, I saw. I think it was Ryan Clark is like, how come people? Where's the media with it? You know, that was mostly generated by some media, the outrage over Kaepernick, and then a lot of fans. I'll reference that. I hate saying their sides. But I think the other side just doesn't get as worked up about Joey Bosa wearing a MAGA hat. I just don't think people care that much, and it is a piece of red meat
Yeah.
For the people that – there's a lot of reasons that people didn't like Colin Kaepernick, and it wasn't just the kneeling. Come on.
I'm not saying – but it's not just but Kaepernick, LeBron James gives an opinion. They're like, shut up and dribble. Or so other guy says something
then LeBron supporters be louder.
Okay. That's all I'm saying, though. I'm just comparing the two things.
To say, like, I don't like when people throw out, like, the media. First of all, it's not a monolith.
Right.
We all don't think the same. We all don't have the same goals, jobs, demands for social media hits.
I do think there's a double standard.
Everyone is not the same.
I think there's a double standard, though. And maybe you're right. It's because, normal people just don't care. Like, they're not going to get, mad about every stupid little thing.
I've already said it a couple times this week. I don't care. I don't think the NFL should fine them. Wear whatever hat you want. I mean, don't be distasteful.
Right.
Can't come out with a pair of naked cans on TV or something. Grab this.
I get it.
There's limits, but.
It's just you spend the last whatever years telling people not to be political whenever you don't agree with it, but then when you agree with it, you're fine with it.
Well, but we already know there's that hypocrisy.
Okay. Well, that's all I'm pointing out.
I'm not saying don't point it out. But instead of going, where's the outrage? Then do the outrage.
Right. No, I get
like,
that.
Where
yeah,
is
yeah.
it?
Like, I do.
We'll do it. You can do it if other people don't react. And that's the other thing is, if you want to be outraged, then hopefully your message is strong enough. You have enough followers that you're a lightning rod. And I guess you can drum people up on that side.
I'm not going to get upset about something like that dumb. I'm just saying the first thing I thought, though, was the hypocrisy when I saw it. I immediately was like, are you serious, man? I mean, I keep hearing, shut up and do this. Don't talk about this. Leave politics out of sports. People complaining about the end zone when they had things in the end zone messages. Keep politics out of my sports, and then you bring politics into the sports on purpose. I don't know.
The Niners are off this week. McCaffrey could be back. I don't think he'll be back at 100% workload, but I do think it's going to change that team a lot. You don't believe that?
Man, the more I see the Niners, they just plug in anybody who's – I mean, look, I'm not saying that Christian McCaffrey's a great player, but Mason's look great too in that same system. I mean, you take Brock Purdy out of there, you put another guy who's average or above average, he's going to look just like Brock Purdy to me.
We can have a discussion on Purdy, but I do think McCaffrey brings something next level that, especially receiving the ball to the backfield, which he's probably better at than running, but he is better than running between the tackles. He is the most impactful running back in football. And I just based it on this, like, Purdy this year has been kind of ordinary by some metrics. Now, PFF still thinks he's awesome. Pro Football Focus. They have him 6 rated. He was number 2 or 1 last year. But his numbers dropped a little bit in other areas. His quarterback rating this year is 16th. He was number 1 last year. His QBR is 9th. He was number 1 last year. So he's being affected by it. So if he's affected by it, then McCaffrey coming back is going to help the offense. And also remember that we don't know who's going to be healthy at the receiving spot. Well, we know Ayuk's out.
Right.
I think he's significantly better than, what is it, Garendo and Mason. I think he's a big bump up. I think he's a guy that you actually have to game plan for, and he might be the number one guy you game plan for.
Yeah.
Those running backs are not the number one guy you game plan for.
I get it. I think that Brock Purdy, though, last year, I mean, CMC was there at the end of last year, and Brock Purdy didn't look very – I think the struggles for Brock Purdy started at the end of last year into the playoffs a little bit. A lot of turnovers, not seeing the field right. And, I mean, he had him then. He had McCaffrey then. So, I'm not saying that he's going to come in and not be good. He's going to be great. He's going to be Christian McCaffrey. But how much better is he than – I mean, how many awesome plays can you have from your running back and your receiver? I mean, that offense is ridiculous. Just plug anybody in there, and they're good.
Let's hit some games here. And I know you read that ESPN midseason report, and you had a couple things out of it. Are the Lions actually good? How is this working so well? You give credit to? For the Lions?
Man, I love that Ben Johnson, dude. I mean, if the Eagles, when they were talking about the Eagles, firing Sirianni, I was hoping so bad that if that happened, they were able to somehow pry Johnson away from Detroit because I really like him a lot. I think he's probably the best offensive mind, maybe save Andy Reid in the league right now. Oh, we just talked about the Niners, too.
He's in an amazing position, Ben Johnson, because he was real picky last year and told a couple organizations to buzz off. It's going to be some good jobs open.
Man.
Especially for a young offensive coach, which everyone covets.
Yeah. No, he's something else. And, I mean, again, a lot of times these guys get hyped up and stuff, but he's a guy that I would definitely give the keys to my team if I could.
That said, I'm an old-school moron when it comes to picking games, and you give me the Packers. Again, we'll get an update on Love. But you give me the Packers at home getting points, I have to take Green Bay. I might be a sucker here because up until the last week and a half, road favorites were killing it. So maybe the Lions go in there and roll. Goff is playing well. I'm not talking myself out of the pick. I will stick with the Packers. I think the Packers will win the game.
I think if it was a higher number, like if it was, the Lions by 7, Lions by 10, something like that, I'd be like, oh, maybe I'd take the Pack. But only, I think it was 2.5, maybe 3 now. I don't think that's, I would take the Lions on that one.
Typical. But I say that, trying to be a jerk and condescending, but it's worked. So, yeah, latest number, Lions are at 3, minus 3 against the Packers in Green Bay. I find the Bears and Cardinals game intriguing. We're split on the show in our Circa Million contest. Bears fan Griffin wanted to take the Bears. Justin Watkins came over the top, took the Cardinals. How good are the Bears?
It's tough to say, man, because
The Hail Mary stole a lot of the thunder away. The Bears were not great in that game. The Commanders went up and down the field.
Yeah. It's so hard to say because it seemed like, we were talking about this earlier in the season where it was like teams didn't have preseason, so you didn't know who was good and who was bad until like 3 or 4 weeks in. And all of a sudden, these teams look so much different. Like the Eagles we talked about all of a sudden look, at least like a team again. It looked horrible the first couple of weeks. So it's hard to say like who they've played that might be better later or whatever. But I think the Bears have a chance. I think they're only going to get better. I think that Caleb Williams is not going to get worse. I think he's going to get better as the season goes on.
Again, though, and I'm calling Griffin a Bears homer. I am also a Kyler Murray homer.
Yeah, you do like the Cardinals.
I do. I pick them a lot. I know. And I like Kyler Murray. I think there's like a short-to-short thing. Like he can run a 4.340. I can run a 7.340, and there's a connection there.
Dude, there's a part of Madden where, like, during the holidays, you have to play with these little tiny players, Sure, and then the football looks real big in their hand. It looks just like him running around.
I get a kick out of him out there. He just he doesn't step. He's just fast as hell.
He's really funny.
He's crazy. Sportsbooks like the Chargers. They still have them power rated pretty good. They're 4-3. They haven't really – they started a breakout last week with Ladd McConkey, but their pass game is still kind of a work in progress even with Herbert. Do the Browns get a 2-week push from Jameis? Or is this, as we were talking earlier in the week, is this the downside of the Jameis coaster where you're like every quarter is different?
Right. The Browns have success with backup quarterbacks, though. It seems like whenever they have Watson, they can get him the hell off the field. They do well. I don't want a guy to get hurt, but I mean, I think it's kind of a good thing for the Browns that he can't play because anybody they put in there seems to be pretty good with that offense.
And Stefanski gave up play calling duties, which doesn't happen often. Ken Dorsey,
right,
who's got a history of calling plays, he's taken over. I think I'm taking the Browns, but I have a feeling I'm going to come in Monday and go, Jameis coaster.
Dude, he's so awesome.
It was just
awesome.
That big drop the whole way.
You talk about fun guys.
Two great touchdowns, but the 4 interceptions and a pick six. Oh,
yeah,
God.
Exactly. He'll have 4 TDs, 4 picks. But, I do think that I would take the Browns, too. Yes.
This is another one I find real fascinating. Can the Dolphins be the Dolphins of last year until they hit the cold weather? Tua's back. They're getting 6 in Buffalo.
I saw that. Man. I usually don't do, like, off-the-field stuff as part of my – but the thing with Tua is – Tua doesn't seem like he's right, man. When he's chirping at the fans, yelling at him, eating chips on the couch and all that stuff, I'm not saying it's a bad thing that he said it or he's a bad person or anything. I think he's a really cool dude. But that, to me, is like something's in his head, whether it's the injuries, whatever, he's not happy. Something's going on with him where he's not himself. So I would say Bills.
Breeders' Cup tomorrow right here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar at Treasure Island. Live Throw the Flag show. They've got breakfast rolling out here from 9 to 11 when the show is on. They've got it the whole time, but not just for the show. But 9 to 11, it'll be Griffin along with Jared. That is a 9 to 11 show every week on Saturdays. College football primer and NFL look ahead. It's right here inside Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Last few NFL spots I want to hit. Interestingly enough, we're having Alex White, who is our expert gambler on the show. She is second in the Circa Invitational.
Didn't she win already before?
She's already won 2 last man, last woman standing contests.
Prodigy.
And she is in second place. You got to pick 7 games a week, college or pro or a mix. And I think right now she's at don't quote me on this, like 32, 22, and 1. So she's doing well.
It's great.
Yeah. We were getting her power rankings, and then I countered with what Pro Football Focus had, and one of the teams that PFF was very high on, like top seven, were the Falcons. Falcons-Cowboys this week. Falcons 3 at home. No Micah Parsons. They're still beat up. Diggs is questionable. I don't understand why the Cowboys look so pedestrian on offense. I mean, the lack of a running game does not help.
Well, their best receiver is also a slot guy. You know? I mean, I said that even coming in. I couldn't believe
it.
And I don't understand how teams wouldn't just key on him, and it looks like they're doing that now. So, I mean, they need another guy on the outside.
I mean, I think for a lot of people, if the Falcons can take care of the Cowboys pretty easily, this will brand them as more than legit. You know, Kirk Cousins is a winning quarterback. He's not always a winning quarterback in prime time.
Sure.
But the Falcons are 3 in that one. And, you know, I don't love where the Raiders season is going, but you get what you get with the Raiders, which is, knock on wood, as they lose 56-7. They play pretty good defense.
Yeah.
They're dangerous enough on offense. The run game was putrid last week. It's got to be better. They're getting 7 at Cincy. I think I'll take the points. I don't trust Cincy to crush them.
Yeah, it's weird because the Eagles' defense coming in, I was scared when they played the Bengals last week because the Bengals have been lighting teams up, but they didn't really look that great. Now, I don't know if that's the Eagles getting better or the Bengals looking worse, but Burrow has no run game at all, really. So if they can't get a run game going, I don't know, man. Yeah, I can see the Raiders making it close.
Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
So college football game's going on right now. South Florida, FAU, 7-7, getting toward half. 5 minutes left in that one. Boise State, first quarter about to end, at home against San Diego State. Boise has the ball on its own 43, and they already have 21 points. It's 21-0. Which, if they annihilate San Diego State, and the Rebels have to play SDSU in a couple of weeks, I mean, if they crush San Diego State, a decent team, that's another feather in the cap of the Rebels, because the Rebels were 50-50 with them and made some mistakes and penalties. And
yeah.
So, I mean, what I'm hoping for as a sports fan, and, you know, I'll admit it, I like to see UNLV do well. I would love to see the Mountain West Conference title game land back in Boise. Well, I actually like Boise to lose 3 games from here and not be in it. But
right.
Boise hosting UNLV in the Mountain West Conference championship game could be pretty freaking cool.
That game really pissed me off, man. The Syracuse game, too. Some of these penalties, man, I'm like, and I know you can't always blame the refs and stuff, but I'm watching this game, so I'm into it now because I'm like, we have a good football team. And I'm like, come on, man. Like,
some of them come at the most inopportune time.
Yeah, like that crack block was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I don't understand how that's a penalty. I mean, what are you supposed to do? Let the guy run right by you? You can't touch him? What are you supposed to do in that situation?
That was a big call. Obviously, self-inflicted with the left tackle, Jalen St. John, kind of giving a little headbutt.
Yeah,
shouldn't have done that. There was another penalty in there that was kind of a little bit shaky on an interference call. A lot of jostling in between the receiver, and I think it was Tony Grimes or Jetty Ladd, I can't remember. But, yeah, the Mountain West Conference is setting up in pretty interesting fashion. Teams ahead of UNLV actually in the standings. San Diego State was one of them, so that looks like that'll be taken care of, and they'll drop back at least with one loss. And then tomorrow's a big game. Reno is going to be hosting Colorado State and CSU. Looked bad at the beginning of the season, got blown off the field by Colorado, but it turns out Deion's Buffs are pretty decent. So we'll see if CSU can continue to remain unbeaten. We never talked about Mountain West Conference is looking for more schools because you had the Disloyal Five move on to the Pac-12. Grand Canyon is a very interesting choice. Good basketball school. No football. So they're going to add some football-only schools, or they're going to add some schools for football only, and then Grand Canyon's in. Well-funded school.
That's weird.
Private institution. They've been good.
You're going to bring a team in that doesn't have a football team, though?
Yeah.
It's weird.
They might bring in another one, too. But Mountain West and Pac-12 kind of deciding what other schools they want to add in. So there you go. Grand Canyon is in. And for some reason, the schools that left, their fans love to comment on what the Mountain West is doing in the future. Like, you left.
Yeah, I know.
Goodbye.
Don't worry about it.
Shut up.
Exactly.
Tomorrow, throw the flag. Jared and Griffin, 9 to 11, getting you ready for the college football Saturday action and the preview of Sunday football.